Steve Hartman.
I don't actually have a trash can. I just walk it to the
dumpster.
It's sort of like a nightly thing.
Mike Costa.
Someone's sitting there going, is he cooking meth up there?
It's Loose Cannons time.
Welcome to our Wednesday edition, the Loose Cannons on Exit 1360 Fox Sports San Diego and 103.3 FM.
What up?
Here we are on this Wednesday, and this is our last full show of the week.
Damn it.
Tomorrow and Friday, of course, we will be carrying Sweet 16 action. And I'm always make sure I can say that. I can do that.
Well, you're saying S-U-I-T-E, yeah, not the other one.
Sweet 16 action. In both days, the games will start at 4 o'clock, so we're going to have abbreviated shows. By the way, tomorrow...
Yes.
We're going to be here in studio from 3 to 4 doing our lead up to the games. I remember there's four games on tomorrow and Friday, and then two games each on Saturday and Sunday as we get down to the final four. But after we're done, we're going to all head over to Claim Jumper,
mm-hmm.
La Mesa.
It's on.
We're there. So if you know, we're always talking about, you know, places to watch the game. Well, that's what we're going to do. Brent's going to be there. Costa and I will be there. Ernie's got jury duty. It's always amazing how Ernie has something else going on.
Yeah. You know, I was probably going to say he had to wash his hair, but he doesn't have any left.
Yeah, well, he's always shaving it off. And then, but filling in for Ernie will be Rich Ornberger.
Oh, boy.
So Rich is going to join us as well. So if you want to hang out and watch the games tomorrow.
Yes.
That's if you're not already winning a spot there at the suite. You can join us tomorrow out at Claim Jumper. So we're going to have a good time out there. And then Friday, we're going to be on location as well. So we'll give you an update on that coming up a little bit later on. Okay, so speaking of being at the game tomorrow, once again, if you haven't done so already, go to sportssc.com.
Okay.
You see the keyword contest? Thousands of you already have.
Yes.
So you put your name in, a chance to win tickets to see the games in a suite at Staples. All right? So that's how it all works. Now, we're going to call out another name coming up at 5:15. So let's make this clear again. If you have entered your name in, that means you want to win. And if you haven't won already, you're going to have another opportunity, but you got to be listening at 5:15. Or you have somebody listening for you at 5:15.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
So that they say, hey, they called your name. Call in right now. You have 5 minutes to call. And, of course, if that person doesn't call in, we'll continue to give out names until we get our winner.
And the tickets we are giving away tonight when we call the first name at 5:15, they are for Saturday.
Wait a second. That's the regional final game. Who's going to be hanging out in the suite with them?
I'm going to be in the suite with you.
How about that? You get to hang with Costa in the suite on Saturday.
You're welcome.
That is sweet.
Yeah.
Okay? That is very, very sweet. So, Stay tuned. So 5:15, be listening as we will call out another name for a
winner.
And
we're Ofer. We haven't had a winner yet.
The funny thing was we had one guy, the winner's name was Frank Sanchez, and we had like 20 guys calling, and they're all named Frank Sanchez.
Yeah.
God bless you. Frank Sanchez.
But it wasn't the Frank Sanchez.
No, and the way we know how to discern if it's the right person or not when you sign up, you have to put your birth date in.
Right.
So.
Yeah, not only the date, but the year.
Year as well.
Really right, nail
right,
it down.
Yeah.
All right. So that's all coming up on the show today. I'm watching, you know, we just had a little fusion there talking about the future of football. I'm talking about real football, American football here in the city of San Diego once again. Didn't take long for Brandon to tweet in.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Brandon said,
the ball should be round, not oblong.
He goes, he's running one of those, what do they call
it? It's a GIF.
GIF,
yeah.
Of a young Michael Jordan, and it's saying, get some help, stop it. Get okay. some help, stop it.
Yeah.
All right, so this is something we do want to discuss, because we mentioned this when Vince McMahon came out with the idea of the XFL, which will begin after the Super Bowl in 2020. But the Alliance of American Football is going to start a year earlier. And essentially, it's the same idea. It's a spring league that will start right after the Super Bowl.
A week after.
And we're talking about a 10-game season.
10-game season with eight 50-man teams.
Right. Well, that's for the AAF.
For the AAF.
Right. The XFL, you know, we were just talking about this with Rich heading out after the fusion. So the AAF is just going to jump the gun. Now, how are they going to get these teams together in such a short amount of time? Because remember this. Think about this for a second here. All right, you got the draft coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But after the draft, you also get a lot of free agent signings.
Oh, a ton of them, the day after.
And if you still have dreams of making it in the NFL, you're going to hang on as long as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So when you talk about every team has what? 90 players?
Yeah, when they start opening up training camp.
Right. So those 90 guys are going to be pretty much on the scene until a couple of weeks before the season actually begins.
Yeah, but you're also looking at a time frame of season gets underway the first weekend of September, and it's going to go to February. If you are the AAF, you are still going to be able to draw, as Rich has alluded to, everybody who wasn't on a roster beginning of September. Now
that's not a lot of time. This is what happened to the first XFL.
What do you mean that's not a lot of time?
3 months of just bringing a bunch of strangers together and getting a really good football team together?
Yeah, that is more than enough time. Practice time to get together?
This is what happened to the XFL the first time. The reason the XFL decided to start in 2020 instead of 2019 is to not make the same mistake that they made back in 2001, where they frantically got these teams together. Remember, you would have, I don't know how many, 8 teams?
400 guys.
Strangers.
Yeah.
Complete strangers.
But not strangers to the game of football.
No, but when we saw the XFL, the thing that killed the XFL wasn't all the shenanigans. It was the lack of quality of the games. When people kept watching the games, they're like, this is really crappy football. And Vince McMahon said one of the problems they had was they didn't really have enough time to get these teams together and really work together. That's why he decided to wait until 2020. His idea was, I'm going to start stockpiling talent now.
Okay.
Give them a full year behind the scenes to sort of work out the kinks and, you know, find out which players can play and which players can't play and who can play with this guy. Football is a team sport. You can pick a bunch of guys and say, all right, let's go at it. And you're going to get garbage football.
Wait a second. You do you have a more than adequate window to pick your football team.
An entire team. This isn't like adding players to an existing team.
Correct. Now, am I saying that they're going to go out
in
and
3 months they're going to be like a machine out there playing great football?
I'm not saying they're going to be a machine, but that is more than enough to bring the guys together. Here's the playbook. You start practicing. It's going to be quality football by the time you're ready to kick off the season.
I think you're delusional.
No.
I do not think the AAF's initial season, when you have such a short time to get all these teams together, it's not going to be good. Now, the thing is, if you could hold these teams together, see, this is one of my concerns about whether it's the XFL or the AAF. Let's say you have breakout stars. Well, the NFL is going to pick them off left and right.
And I think the AAF completely embraces that and knows that's going to happen.
But then again, okay.
Steve, nobody is going into this thinking, okay, this is going to be on par with the NFL. We know ahead of time it's not.
Okay, but let's say it's like minor league baseball, all right? So we're out there with the Lake Elsinore.
Okay.
All right? So you see all the names of Lake Elsinore. A lot of times what happens is, let's say you follow Lake Elsinore Storm, right? Mm-hmm. And now it gets to playoff time, and all of a sudden they're picking off your top players to promote to the major leagues.
Right.
So you're not really getting a representative team. So let's say you're trying to get everybody behind a team. Let's just use the AAF since they're first up. And again, okay, we don't even know if they're going to choose San Diego. But let's say they choose San Diego, and we'll get to the logistics there. All right, so you got this team, right? And, you know, you start a little bit of a following,
okay,
you know, and every team's going to have some breakout star. I mean, that's inevitable that
right,
some guy's going to be there. And so you're all excited about the next year, except that guy's gone because now he's playing the NFL. It's hard to get any continuity unless you're just making it out like This is just a way to kill an afternoon.
If you have, and let's say we know because it begins and it starts with the quarterback, it begins and ends with the quarterback position.
Right.
Let's say you have a guy, let's say Brent Spurry is a guy who's picked up by the San Diego Lightning and he goes out there and lights it up in the inaugural season and then gets picked up by an NFL team. So be it. But you're not going to have a mass exodus every single year of guys that are being, you know, pulled maybe back to a team they were in training camp with or not.
No, but those guys, I guarantee what's going to happen is that, look, we mentioned like there's 28,000 football players at the Division I level and about 1,700 of them play in the NFL. Yeah. That's a lot of bodies left over. But all of these guys, believe me, if they are, unless they're moving on from football immediately after college, if they got dreams of playing football, their dreams to play in the NFL. So if they go into this league, even if you're not immediately picked off because you're just a standout, that doesn't mean those same players are going to come back and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to look for a free agent signing in the NFL. You're going to get a lot of turnover in this league.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of turnover.
And that, if you are a fan, that you have to have that in your mindset that a guy you may fall in love with in the, you know, the 10-game season, right, whatever it is.
Is gone.
Is gone.
Well, how do you build any continuity with something like that?
I think you're going to play a lot on the fact, let's say, and we're using San Diego as the Petri dish here.
Right.
You're going to play a lot on the fact that that team left. This is, you know, as Rich said, walking out the door, you know, lightning does strike twice in San Diego. Mm-hmm. You're going to play up the fact that you are bringing them football in the spring, not necessarily, hey, look at all these great stars we have.
All right, let's go back to football in the spring.
Now, and I'm with you on this. The week after the Super Bowl is over, I don't know if you have people that are like, hey, we need some time to decompress a little bit. That could be a negative.
Well, but you're going to be in cities that most likely don't have NFL teams. But my point is, when you think about post-football, what are we looking at? If you're talking about a 10-week season that will go from February, let's say, through April. Well, you got March Madness. You got San Diego State basketball, right? You got
You're competing, absolutely.
Obviously, you got the Gulls, yeah. All right? You got hockey here in San Diego.
You are going to have lacrosse eventually.
Lacrosse, I don't know how the soccer, remember this, if you get Major League Soccer in San Diego, their season basically goes all year long, mm-hmm. All right? So there will be competition out there for your entertainment dollars. So The question is, how many of you out there, given the choices that are existing right now for spring, and again, this would basically be that gap between the end of the football season and start of baseball.
Yes.
How many people would choose what is a minor league? Very minor league for football. And that's what it will be. It'll be minor league professional football. Is that something that would really interest people here in San Diego? By the way, where are you playing the games?
I think that USD, to begin with, would be a no-brainer.
All right, so USD would be one venue.
I think so. And does it look bad if you're playing your games, let's say, at a Cathedral Catholic High School? Yeah, because it's a beautiful stadium, but it's a high school stadium. I think USD would be the no-brainer.
All right, so now as far as the existing SDCCU stadium, well, I mean, we don't know yet. I mean, we don't know the future of that stadium beyond 2018. It all depends on what happens in the vote in November, whether or not it's going to go to Soccer City or whether it's going to go to the Friends of San Diego State. Obviously, if Friends of San Diego State win the vote, they'll hold on to the stadium.
Sure.
While getting the new stadium ready, and they've already shown us about a new stadium there.
I put this out on Twitter at Costa1360 33 minutes ago. It's a poll. If San Diego were to get an AAF or XFL franchise and they call themselves the San Diego Lightning, went with a powder blue, in parentheses, AFL Chargers, mm-hmm. or royal blue, in parentheses, Air Coryell uniform scheme, would you support? And your choices were, oh, hell yes, no, not the NFL. And the third choice is, meh. 81 votes so far, 55%, oh, hell yes, 7% say, no, not the NFL, 38%, Meh.
Okay, we'll get some of your input right now. 570-1360, want to hear from you early. It's something we're going to sort of throw around throughout the course of the show today. Just a little bit of interest. And I got to believe right now is both the AAF and the XFL, because neither league has committed to any cities right now. So no. They're just sort of trying to, you know, get a little feel. Is spring football a major step down from the end? This is minor league football. It's minor league professional football. I mean, you got big people behind it, but maybe I'm giving a little negative vibe on it, but I'm trying to be honest with you on what the actual product is. Now, let me ask you this. Would you sign someone like Kaepernick or Johnny Manziel, or if Tim Tebow wants to give up on his baseball dream and come back to football, would you sign a name like that as a first-year tease? Because let's face it, if they're good, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
If they're bad, they're gone.
Yeah,
they'll be here basically for name recognition only to kick off the inaugural campaign.
Yeah, therein lies the rub. You know, as polarizing as a guy like Colin Kaepernick is, he can probably still play the game. Do you do that? Do you then absorb the negative fallout that would come with it? Or, you know, maybe there'd be a positive, like, hey, look at the San Diego Lightning. They were the team that stepped up and brought in Colin Kaepernick.
Here's another idea. Let's say you have a San Diego team, and we know the Aztecs, obviously, have
built
a great program.
Please call them the Lightning.
All right, the Lightning. If you have a better name, please, please, I beg of you, please call in with that better name. All right, so the Lightning. So the Lightning, why would you not, San Diego State football, why grab their quarterback?
Sure.
I mean, you know, guys that have some local ties that have not signed on with the NFL.
Yes.
So at least they have some name recognition in the existing market.
Yeah. And you're fishing in the pool that is all the guys who did not catch on with the team by the time training camp was over and weren't, you know, signed as a free agent, let's say at the fifth or sixth week because of injuries or not. I'd be going after UCLA guys, USC guys, San Diego State. Of course they're going to do that.
All right, let's get some early feedback right now. Does spring football whet your appetite, San Diego? Let's go to James. All right, James, you're the first up. Spring football, hey. How does it sound to you, James?
It does not sound good at all.
Watch it, James.
I just don't see the market. You're talking about a substandard football program. Why
right.
am I going to watch something that's substandard just because it's in the spring? That doesn't. I've got too many things else to watch. Like you said, March Madness. You know, basketball.
Well, you got gulls hockey. I mean, there are alternatives here in San Diego.
Wait a second, James. I appreciate your phone call and your thoughts.
That's 0-for-1 right there. James made it infinitely.
James is making it look like as soon as March 1st falls, he's in front of his TV 24/7. We are talking about 3 or 4 hours on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, but again, the USFL, when they launched as a spring league, they competed for the top college talent right out of the box. They said, Herschel Walker, why go to your senior year at Georgia? You can play professionally right now. They start throwing out big money. Steve Young, Jim Kelly, they were outbidding the NFL for the biggest stars in college football. But this league has already admitted they're just going to take leftovers.
Yeah, they are.
They're going to take the 2,000th best player in the draft.
And they are going into it knowing there's no competition with the NFL. If anything, they are arm in arm with the NFL as a feeder league to pro football.
Let's go to Janelle. Janelle, what do you say? Is this a league you would support?
I will support any team who's not owned by somebody named Spanos or Davis.
Smartest. Oh, wait, whoa.
He said it. Whoa. He said it. There you go.
Janelle, you were about to get in for the first hour cannon shot of the day qualification, but then you slammed my boy Mark Davis.
There you go. All right, so Janelle, you would get behind this spring league.
Absolutely. I miss football here already.
All right, Janelle. All right, so
there's a great woman right there. Run for president, Janelle.
Well, hold on a second here. Hold on a second. Do you have a stake in this? You're really coming on strong right now.
No,
I'm sitting there trying to make a realistic picture that this is about as minor league as it's going to get.
Let's go, Lightning!
Wow. One of the possible owners of a team in this league apparently is a guy that's going to be joining us right now. Of course, he is a guy that will give us all the latest as we get ready for the draft and everything else. A man that has known professional football since its earliest roots back in the 1890s. Billy Wendell is going to join the Cannons coming up next.
Tomorrow morning on Hardwick and Richards, we're going to redo our brackets because they were that awful. And do we have a Cinderella winning it? And what did Sam Darnold's pro day look like? Sam Farmer of the LA Times, he was there on the ground. He'll join us at 8:05. We'll see you at 6 a.m. on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.
Get in for the Cannon Shot of the Day today. Winner takes home another $30 gift card to Sombreros. Call us 570-1360. Tweet at Cannon Hardman at cost of 1360 or just text it to us. 70470. Start your message with XTRA.
All right, so we've been talking about the possibility of spring football coming to San Diego. I think Casa's a little more excited than I am about that. By the way, we do have two names that have been offered. One is the San Diego Voltage.
Hmm.
Like the Volts?
No, Lightning's 1,000 times better.
And here's another one. The SD, not the MF Chargers. How's that for a name?
No, that's fantastic.
That's not so bad. Joining us right now to talk about the possibilities of another spring football league, as well as the current state of the quarterback situation in the upcoming NFL draft, Billy Wendell back on. Billy, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I understand you do not like the Padres' new shortstop, Freddie Galvis.
Well, it's he's a one-year guy. He's going to be here, and then he's going to be gone when they have Fernando Tatis Jr., who's going to be a future Hall of Famer at shortstop. So Freddie's here for a year.
He's a future Hall of Famer. He hasn't taken a strike.
He is the number one player in all of baseball, all right? He just turned 19, right.
We've heard a lot of number one guys flop.
Yeah, all right.
Dallas is an excellent defensive.
Yeah, I remember when you said Tony Gwynn would never hit. I remember that as well.
Oh, wait a minute. You were the guy that was trying to run Tony Gwynn out of
Mr.
Dallas.
Twister, right there.
I also remember you were the guy that guaranteed me that Sean Burroughs would be in the Hall of Fame. I remember that as well.
Okay,
so
right.
Your eye for baseball talent, questionable.
You mentioned the quarterback situation.
Yeah, where are we today? Sam pro Darnold. Day for Sam Darnold. How did it go today? What's the buzz?
He had an excellent pro day, Steve, and it was not ideal conditions. It was raining in Southern California, the whole deal, and he went through all the drills, the whole deal. I think right now he will be the number one pick in the draft by the Cleveland Browns. I think everything points to Darnold being that guy. Now, what do the Giants do at 2? Will they take a quarterback, or do they retreat? And then at number 3, the Jets obviously are going to take a quarterback.
Right.
If Darnold's off the board, is it going to be Baker Mayfield, or is it going to be Josh Allen? There'll be a lot of debate about that. But I really believe that either Barkley goes number 2 to the Giants if they don't trade out of there, or number 4 to the Browns if the Giants stay and they take a quarterback. I doubt they'll take a quarterback. I think they're trading out of there.
Billy, are they going to trade with Buffalo?
I think Buffalo is very anxious to get up to the top of the draft. Remember, they moved up to number 12 from 21 with the Bengals.
They have 12 and 22. So they have 12 and 22, and they have 6 picks in the first 3 rounds.
Exactly. And they have, like you mentioned, Steve, they have a boatload of picks they can really maneuver.
Right.
Now, of course, Buffalo will be looking at the people, the Giants, if they trade with Buffalo, are going to be looking at that deal the Colts got for the 3rd pick overall in the draft.
Yeah, that was 3 number 2s. Look, if I'm the Giants are sitting pretty right now. I mean, really pretty. Yeah. So, and by the way, it's not a – I'll tell you what, the Jets sitting at 3 – they might try to still move up to 2 if they only have their eye on a single quarterback. And depending on, again, what Cleveland does at number 1, Cleveland obviously has
Cleveland.
Well, they have 1st and 4th. What are they going to do with them?
Moving up to number 2. How about Cleveland? They have a boatload of picks. How about Cleveland moving up to number 2 of the Giants?
All right. Whoa. Hold on.
So Cleveland
wants the first 2 picks in the draft?
Yep. Yep.
Wow. That's an interesting angle. All right. So what would they do, though? I mean, obviously, they're only going to take – they're not going to take two quarterbacks. I mean, can't they get
– they'll take Saquon Barkley. How about that? Back to back. They got their quarterback of the future. They got their running back of the future.
All right, Billy, here's – I want to talk a little bit about Darnold, all right? When you look at his stats at USC, they were on par, if not slightly worse, than his two predecessors, Matt Barkley and Cody Kessler. He led the nation in turnovers a year ago. He had more interceptions last year than any of those guys had previously. Cody Kessler had a year with 39 touchdowns and five picks at USC. So when you look at their numbers of Barkley and then Kessler, there's nothing that says Sam Darnold's any better than those guys. So how are those guys fourth-round picks, and this guy's the number one pick in the draft? Explain that to me.
Remember, let's go back to Barkley. If he comes out after his junior year, he might be a top-10 pick in the National Football League draft. But he decided to come back, and he really
– Well, he hurt his shoulder.
In his senior year. Exactly. Yeah. So that really hurt Barkley. You mentioned Kessler.
Yeah.
That's a different animal entirely. But – I think the pro scouts are looking at the potential of Darnold. You're right about the turnovers and the fumbling. That's another issue with Sam Darnold.
He led the nation in turnovers. In fact, he had more turnovers individually than over half of the FBS schools had as a team.
Well, here's the other thing, Steve. He's not going to come into Cleveland and start right away. Tyrod Taylor is their sacrificial lamb. And he's the guy that's going to be the starting quarterback for the 2018 season. So Darnold may play the last six or seven games of his rookie year. So they're going to bring him along slowly, you know, introduce him to the pro offense. And I think Darnold will do a fine job. But I think they're doing the right thing if they feel convinced that Darnold's a franchise quarterback.
Billy, are people more enamored with his athletic ability than they are his arm?
Well, I think that it's the whole product. They really like him overall, Mike. I mean, if you want to break down every player, you can find a flaw.
Yes.
And that's my big problem with when they evaluate players. They look at them during the regular season. Then we have the bowl games. Then we have the Senior Bowl. And then we have the combine. And then they have the individual workouts, the whole deal. And they're dissecting these guys, and I think they overanalyze a lot of these guys. They try to find every little flaw in a guy's game. And I think that's wrong. You got to, if you're a good personnel guy, you go with your feeling. I saw him in college. I like what I saw. Yes, he needs refinement, but I have to go on my gut. Not with, you know, every little flaw he has in his game. You can correct flaws.
All right, Billy, a man that had no flaws when he wrote his book because he incorporated many of my statements. By the way, very honest statements that I presented. He didn't edit anything out. I applaud you for that, Billy.
You're always a very honest guy. You're always shooting from the hip.
I am, but you didn't edit it out. And it's highly critical of you in your own book, but that's okay. No, it wasn't.
That's okay.
A lot of love there as well. Billy, tell everybody about your book once again.
NoCurveballs.com or go to Amazon.com. You can get a great book. Steve, one other, you brought something up with Mike a few seconds ago, the new league that Bill Polian is heading up. I like this idea. I think it's going to grow on people, much like the USFL. If Donald Trump didn't get involved in the USFL, that league would still be flourishing.
Except that league was competing for top talent. This league is going to take leftover talent. There's a big difference.
Well,
difference.
In a year or
yeah.
two.
Minor league football, Billy. You might be into minor league football, not me.
Well, you know what? I think minor league football would be great.
All right. Well, that's you.
The minor league called NCAA college football.
Billy, we're losing our connection right now, apparently fading away. But there he is. Billy Wendell joins us every Wednesday at this time.
All right, how's the Raider Nation feeling about the offseason moves they've made so far? Will it get this team back in playoff contention? 95.7 The Game's Bonta Hill will enlighten us coming up next.
Hey, what's up? It's Rich coming up tomorrow right at noon on the Mark and Rich Show. So we got the NC2A tournament starting up again. Big day. Also, I think we have the fix. We're going to see some more mid-majors in the tournament as long as they follow these very careful instructions. We're going to tune you into that at noon on Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. Can is rolling on this Wednesday. Now, there's still time to get in for the running for a pair of tickets to sit in a suite at Staples for Saturday's regional final. Just get to sportssd.com, sign up, wait to hear your name called, and we'll have another name to announce coming up at 5:15. And by the way, we are your home of the madness, Extra 1360 Fox Sports San Diego. And if you win, you're going to be hanging out with Costa on Saturday. You will be in that suite.
Yeah, you can't put a price tag on that. Oof. Really can't. Damn. All right, join us right now. He's co-host of Afternoon Delight on 95.7 The Game up in the Bay Area with our buddy Greg Papa. He's also a buddy of ours coming on to talk a little Raider football with us. Bonte Hill back on the Cannons. Bonte, how you been, man?
I've been good, man. I'm just trying to figure out how to win that suite for Saturday's regional, man. I want to go down to Staples, sit in the suite, sip a few beers, and watch March Madness, man. How do I enter that contest?
Okay,
man?
I tell you what. You DM me. I know some people will make it happen,
wow.
Okay?
Wow. That's insider info.
I like that answer. Hey, Bonte, I don't know if I'm going to be available Saturday, but I definitely like that answer.
All right. Bonte, with the moves they have made so far, you've got your finger on the pulse of the Raider Nation up there. Are they ecstatic? Are they excited? I keep on hearing, I see people on social media saying, well, they're all adding old guys. What's the deal with free agency so far?
Yeah, mixed feelings up here in the Bay Area when you talk to all the Raider fans up here. A lot of them, I did not have any idea how much they love Michael Cratcher. Now, Michael Cratcher obviously was with the 49ers for six seasons and then with the Raiders for three. So we've seen the up and downs with Michael Cratcher up close and personal here in the Bay Area, but I'm surprised to see how many Raider fans favor Michael Cratcher over Jordy Nelson. I personally don't, because I think Jordy Nelson, he may not be as quick as Michael Cratcher. He may have lost a step, but I still think Nelson could be productive. If Aaron Rodgers is in that lineup last year for Green Bay, I do believe Jordy Nelson goes over 1,000 yards. So I think this move was good for the locker room, because what went awry for the Raider Nation last year was their leadership. They had no leadership within the locker room. Everything went haywire there. Jack Del Rio couldn't control the players. You had Beast Mode walking around there going crazy. There was just no leadership on this team. And I think, if anything, Jordy Nelson is going to provide leadership for a young Derek Carr and a young Amari Cooper. He's going to help these guys, not to mention he can run every route in the route tree. I don't think he's washed up by any means necessary. I like the move of Keith Smith, the fullback from the Dallas Cowboys. Doug Martin, we'll wait and see. We'll see if he makes the roster or not. It's a one-year deal. Also, it's a proven deal for Rashawn Melvin. 1 year, $6.5 million. He's a big corner. I think the Raiders obviously need corners.
Yeah.
Because you only have Gary and Conley, Dexter McDonald right now on the roster here. So, you know what? Having Melvin here, who I think played solid for the Colts last year, this is a proven deal. A guy in a contract here. I love that move. As well as some of the defensive moves, Whitehead from Detroit. He's going to make tackles here, but I do think in the upcoming NFL draft, the Raiders will still need to address linebacker and cornerback. But so far, so good. I know Raider fans are a little disappointed that Ndamukong Suh canceled his visit to the Raider Nation today. But other than that, so far, so good for the Raider Nation. I like their moves so far under John Gruden.
All right, Bonta, Hartman here. As a former Raider employee myself, way back in the L.A. Raider days, I said before last season that I looked at 2016 as an aberration. You know, that was a year when they were 8-1 in one score games. They got every close game as a victory, and they were exposed last year. The defense is garbage. And Derek Carr, and I love Derek Carr, took a major step backwards. I mean, I'm looking at the Raiders right now thinking, where are they? I mean, I think there's still this unrealistic view that somehow this team is like a player or two away from contending for a spot in the Super Bowl. Now, you're a lot closer to the situation than we are. And look, you know, I work for the man. I certainly have feelings about the silver and black. But to me, I was not surprised at all by what I saw in 2017. What's your take?
Yeah, you know, I was a little surprised with the offense. Not so much the defense, because when Jack Del Rio decided to bring back Ken Norton Jr. despite hiring John Pagano, that made no sense to me. It's like either give the defensive coordinator job to Pagano or just let Ken Norton run the show. Well, he was blamed as a scapegoat after they got blown out in Mexico City to the New England Patriots. You know, a lot of Raider fans, I did believe that there were a couple moves away from the Super Bowl. I truly did. Now, I do agree with you in the sense that 12-4, yeah, maybe it was a bit fluky here considering how many close games they had, how many close road games they won. You really don't see that in today's NFL here. And then watching them in training camp, guys, you know, Papa and I, we mentioned this. They didn't have a great training camp. Mm-hmm. It was almost like they had a ride, as if they were New England Patriots. Balls were hitting the turf. Guys were in and out of the lineup. You didn't know what was going on with Gary and Conley. Obi Melifonwu wasn't on the field. It was just an absolute mess. Now, we started to drink the Kool-Aid a little bit when they started 2-0. They blew out the New York Jets. Remember that? Everybody's like, oh, my God, the Raiders looking good. Marshawn Lynch is dancing on the sideline. The Raider Nation is back. They're for real. They would have made some noise in the playoffs had Derek Carr been there. However, as you mentioned, they were exposed in Week 3 against Washington on that Sunday Night Football, and they never recovered. They never recovered. I honestly, we know the defense and their flaws and their weaknesses, but I honestly believe the Raiders offense was responsible for at least six of those losses last year. At least six of them. They finished 6-10. I'm saying, you look at the Buffalo game. I mean, you look at even the Washington game. You look at some of these games, the Denver game. The defense played as well as they could. They kept the Raiders in the ball. They kept them in the game. I believe the stat was, and Raider losses, the offense averaged no more than 13 points a game. It was somewhere between 12 and 13 points a game. Well, remember, they were supposed to have a state-of-the-art offense with Michael Crasher and Marty Cooper, Jared Cook. You bring in Cordarrelle Patterson, and Todd Downey was the next great mind, the next great offensive mind. Well, that didn't work out too well. So it was on the offense last year, and right now I have no idea where the Raiders are. Where's Derek Carr mentally? Can he handle John Gruden? Well, beast mode be in the locker room with John Gruden. We already see him get rid of Michael Crabtree. We knew that wasn't going to work out because remember Gruden and Tampa Bay when he cut Keyshawn Johnson. He just doesn't have the time of day for diva receivers, diva-type receivers. Not calling Michael Crabtree a diva, but he had his ways, and it didn't end well the last two games. Two catches, 17 yards, refused to go back into the game. It was a mess, so I really don't know where the Raiders are at. I think they're trying to build structure. They're trying to build discipline and veteran leadership. But when I look at the division, I look at the L.A. Chargers as a team that's going to be loaded. I look at the Kansas City Chiefs with a young Pat Mahomes. I look at the weapons they have with Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and, of course, Travis Kelce. And then Denver, you don't know what's going on there. But right now, I have a mixed feeling about the Oakland Raiders. I don't know where the case is. Are they going to be 8-8? Are they going to be 9-7? I know for sure out here in the Bay Area, nobody's talking about Super Bowl with Silver and Black right now.
Bonta, always appreciate the visit. Appreciate you breaking it down, the Raiders, and look for that direct message from me to join me in the suite on Saturday. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you guys soon, man. Always a good time with you guys down in San Diego.
Thanks,
right,
Bonta.
There he is, Bonta Hill right there. All right. Let's qualify some right now for the cannon shot of the day. That's a lot of information there on the silver and black. Not all good. This out. Cannon shot came from
our number one caller, Janelle, said she'll support any team not owned by Spanos or Davis.
All right, we get ready for the Ford for the biggest sports stories of the day, including a bad situation only getting worse. Coming up next.